Snicker, snicker. It's the news, according to me. Hey, it's Friday. It's Freaky Friday here at the news, according to me. It is, what is it? It's 9:30 already, Eastern Standard Time. I am in the 8:30 time zone. I got in about midnight last night, Central Time, I'm in Peoria. Didn't get here by the means that I thought I was going to get here. Didn't get here through Chicago. That's a long story. It's a long story. But I ended up getting here nonetheless, and I will be here all day. And then I'm heading home for the weekend, planning to do some camping tomorrow morning. We're going to go out in the motorhome with the puppies and the cat. Well, I think the cats are going to go with us. We might try that. See how that works out. And then we're going to. At least one of the cats. I'm not sure how it's going to work. Possibility of doing something like that. Because I think we could leave one of the cats home, roaming wherever they want to roam for a couple days. They can take care of themselves pretty well. If there's only one cat there, it's not. There's plenty of places to do their thing. They got plenty of cat boxes around the house, and there's plenty of food there. So, not sure how that's going to work out. They would just be starved for attention. I'll get back. And we have, what else was I going to say? Well, yeah, it's Friday the 11th, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And 2025, I have, the 11th of July already. It's, summer's half over, by the way. It's going by fast, going by way too fast. I've got a lot to do this year, this summer, hopefully get some things done. I've got a sewing project, believe it or not, I've got to get done. Some other things I've got to get done. But the main thing I got done today was got my workout in, got some breakfast, and now I have a cup of chai here. And I have a kind of an original thing here. I'm always in the search for creamer when I'm in hotels that's other than just French vanilla, hazelnut, or, half and half. After I put a couple of half and halves in my chai here this morning, I noticed that there was a Snickers flavored thing. Now, the stuff that can be in a squeeze bottle stuff, the big stuff that you just pump, the pump bottle stuff, that stuff is, when it can sit outside all day long and not, it doesn't have to be refrigerated. I get a little concerned about stuff like that. It means there's no life in it. First of all, there's nothing that's alive in there. So I have to wonder what I'm actually consuming. But it's, like I said before, buttered. It can sit outside all day long and just it's okay. As long as it's covered up from flies. That used to be the case all the time. I know it's a lot of artificial stuff in it, but. I just put one little bitty, a little bit of a taste in there. I wasn't sure how it was going to taste. So it's, Snickers flavored. I like Snickers bars. I'm kind of shocked, actually. I only put a little bit in. I only put half a squirt in there. But it actually has a pretty good flavor. And I think if I would have put much more in there, it would have been maybe a little too rich. But it's actually pretty good. Now, it's my backup cup. I have, I hate to say it. I used to love McDonald's sweet tea. What's going on with this? It's just not what it used to be. Back before McDonald's had sweet tea all over the nation, you'd go into the Deep South and they had sweet tea there. There were certain regions where they would have sweet tea available. And this is what they've done is they've commercialized it to the point when they went national, it was all pretty good. I would get it everywhere I went. However, now, it is I don't know what it is. It doesn't taste like tea. It's just sweet. That's all it is. It's just sweet. And that's all it is. It's nothing, there's nothing tea about it. It's just sweet stuff. And it's, of course, Culver's, I wish they would go to the same kind of tea. They use a different type of tea for their sweet tea there. It is not the same kind of, not the right kind of flavor that I like. I'm kind of a tea snob, I guess. The better thing is whatever Chick-fil-A uses. It is incredibly, that's really good stuff. I don't know if there's a Chick-fil-A near me here today or not. was planning on going to Culver's later on for some, like a late lunch. And probably, maybe I'll try to find a Chick-fil-A possibly. I don't know. But I will probably go to Chick-fil-A. I go to Chick-fil-A quite a bit now that there's more of them around the areas where I travel. So I don't want to Chick-fil-A myself out. Their sweet tea, I'll drive 5 miles to go get a sweet tea from Chick-fil-A, or walk 5 miles for that matter to get sweet tea. But they also have this thing, this time of year, they have something called a frosted peach lemonade, which is incredibly good. And they also have a peach shake, which is all, I just like those as well. But that's only a seasonal thing, so you have to go there as much as you can and get as many of those in your belly as you can, possibly for the duration. So anyway, let's move on to some subjects that need to be talked about. First of all, my chair is not adjustable, and it's all the way to the floor. So I feel like I feel like a little kid sitting at the dinner table with no. I need a couple of Sears catalogs to sit on or something. Most of you people out there don't know what Sears catalogs, you know, what that even means, the reference to sitting on a Montgomery Ward's or a Sears catalog. They were about 2.5 inches thick, 2 inches thick, probably. In lieu of a booster chair, which, you know, it's not OSHA approved, but this would work in our families. That's what we used to do. We just, whatever works, just sit on this thing, boost yourself up there so you can eat at the table. Behave yourself. Say please and thank you. That's the way. You're welcome for sitting in. Now if it's not an approved booster chair, they might fall out of there and scratch their nose. Oh my goodness. We must wrap them in bubble wrap and put them in a little special little chair with a little safety harness on it that has two people on one person on each side in case there's any kind of, you know, flipping out and going off the chair. We have to have safety personnel in place. Anyway, I have, I'm a bitter old man. I'm an old man, old grumpy old guy. Used to walk 12 miles to school every day, both ways, uphill in the snow, in the blazing heat in the snow. I had to drag my oxen along with me for school. I had to have my own chalkboard and my chalk and erasers and all that stuff. I had to carry all that stuff with me. We had to carry a knife to fend off the wolves. That's when kids were kids. That's when kids were men. Oh my goodness. There's a lot of things going on. You know, this Fetterman guy, John Fetterman, is being interviewed right now on Fox News. I looked over. He's actually the more. Okay, so he has a stroke, and he loses his mind. Can't think. Can't talk straight. He's like blubbering idiot. Totally left wing radical, knucklehead, and he starts to recover from the stroke, and now he can speak clearly, and he's recovering, and he's doing very well actually. He's dressing different. He's actually dressing better now. He tends to be found more and more in regular clothes. And he's becoming more central. He's becoming much, he's much more, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy leaves the party, the Democrat Party. He's getting really frustrated with the Democrat. Right now, he's saying Mamdani. This guy, this Zahar Mamdani guy, that guy out in New York, who's going to be probably the mayor. He said this is a gift to the GOP. He's making comments like that. He's actually being willing to be interviewed by Fox News. Most of the politicians on the left will not even go on Fox News. They think of Fox News as the devil. They think that they're the enemy. They won't even. Which is not the case with CNN and MSNBC. You'll see Republicans going on there all the time. If I was a Republican senator or congressman, I would love to go on their channel. I'd probably exclusively go on MSNBC or CNN and just lay into them with their hypocrisy and their idiot baloney that they're going through, that stuff that they do. I think that would be kind of fun, actually. It'd be my hobby, my side hobby. You know, it'd be one of the perks of being in Congress, I guess. But it's because it's just ridiculous. And the reason they don't want to go on Fox is because they, first of all, they don't want to be vilified by their constituents. Their constituents would point at them and laugh and say all kinds of things and say, oh, how dare you go on Fox? So you can't give them any credibility. All they do is spew lies all day long. And they're not our lies. They're their lies. And they have all kinds of facts to back up their lies, which is even worse. Yeah. So it's just, it's interesting to see some of these things. Now I've been watching some things that have been going on around the country. This ICE issue, of course, is escalating now in California. I blame this completely on the rhetoric and the things that are being said by the media and politicians on the left. They are the ones escalating the problems here. And the backers of these so-called protests, which are absolute riots, and they are turned against law enforcement. So these are riots against law enforcement. I think the nation is getting weary and tired of these kinds of acts, especially when they block streets, when they parade around and block intersections and do things with buildings, and they destroy property. They've burned down people's family-owned restaurants. People, this one restaurant was recently burned down in LA, I guess, that was, it had been in their family since 1920-something, I think. And it's all they had. It's just their family restaurant. They spent all their time there. This, if you know anything, I don't know if it was or not. there's Greek families that own restaurants. The ones that I've seen, usually the owner of the restaurant is the one who greets you. This is very, very common in both Italian and genuine, legitimate Italian and Greek restaurants. The owner will be there. You know, all the time. They're there all the time. You walk in the door and that's who greets you. It will either be the owner or the owner's wife or something. It's one of the family members will greet you and seat you and come around to the table several times and see how things are going. It is, and they'll make you something special. I was at a restaurant one time. I was on back when I used to fly corporate airplanes. We had a business meeting. One of the things that the perks of being the pilot was that they would always invite the pilot to dinner with the business meeting that was going on. So we would fly in usually in the evening with this one company I worked for. We would fly in the evening into whatever it was. Usually a lot of times it was Florida, someplace along the coast typically is where this company had the kind of business they were doing was mostly in coastal or water areas, large lakes and river areas. And we flew in, and we'd fly our salespeople down, and there would usually be an engineer on board or someone who would be meeting us there. And then we would talk, the clients would usually meet us at that point, and everybody would have dinner. And so they would invite me along. And so I went to this Italian restaurant one night. And the next day, they would usually fly the entire client group back to the facility, which was, you know, usually back in Indiana. And so we'd fly back there. They would spend the day taking a tour of the facility there, and then we would fly them back home, and we'd fly back. It had sometimes three legs in a day, but it was, you're kind of back home all day, and then you just do a round robin back and forth, or go somewhere else, reposition, whatever we're doing. It was usually once a week. We would do something like that. It wasn't very, so we'd usually work but 2 days a week, typically, flying-wise, as far as the flying was concerned. And there was usually one other trip out and back, two or three a week. And then we had, of course, then I would work also, you know, at the office. You'd be cleaning the airplane, doing other things with the airplane, that kind of thing, at the airport. Anyway, it was a good job. Anyway, we went into this Italian restaurant one time for dinner. And the owner came out while they kind of gave us a special little room for this business meeting. It was a little more quiet. It's kind of back in an area where there's a little more quiet. We're right back there. There's probably seven or eight of us around sitting around the table. And he came around as he was taking orders, the owner came around to take the orders. And he said, you know, we got, I can, he, this wasn't on the menu. I was kind of asking some questions about the menu. I can't remember what I was asking anymore. This was 30 years ago. And he said something about it. What stuck out to me was that he said, you know, I got some, I can make some, I think it was lobster ravioli. He said, we still have some lobster for the day. He said, I can make some lobster ravioli for you if you'd like that. I said, well, I'd like to try that. It was a cheese sauce, lobster macaroni, or lobster ravioli. It was excellent. It was just one of those things where, you know, it wasn't even on the menu. He just said, oh, well, I can do that for you. We'll make that for you. I think he was kind of gathering kind of where I was going and what my taste was, and he was paying attention. And he said, I'll make this for you. And he did that with a couple of different people. He made something special for them that wasn't on the menu. That's a special kind of person does that kind of thing. Now, my guess is that that's the kind of family that owned this, whether they were, you know, whatever ethnic background they had, that's the kind of people they were. They were there to attend to their customers and their people who came there to eat. You were dining in their home basically because they basically spent more of their time there than they did at home, I'm sure. So it was kind of like you were in their home, and they just made you their guest, and they were happy to have you there, and they knew that the reason they could have that place was because you were there to pay for it. That was their thing. So this place burned down. This person was being interviewed, a family member. They're just in tears. You know, they lost everything, and I don't know. Hopefully, they had insurance, but you just, you know, you have that kind of a place. It takes time to rebuild that. It takes time to reestablish yourself. There was a restaurant in our local area that had been there for ever since I've been a kid. I mean, it's been there for 60 years at least. I think it's probably been there for more than that. It was known throughout the community. Everybody had breakfast there. I think they were open from breakfast through like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They were breakfast and lunch kind of place. Very well known. It was a very small place, but it was always packed, and it was worth going there. It was just a good place for breakfast. It was great. You know, everybody. A lot of the farmers went there. A lot of the people from town went there. It was kind of on the outskirts of this little town. It burned down one day. Some people were saying they were going to rebuild. They were going to redo it. It was going to be back up again and running. It never. Somebody bought out the property, I guess. And one of the biggest problems was they were planning to put in a 4-lane road through that area, and they were going to have to sell the property anyway. So eminent domain was going to take over that. And they didn't know if they wanted to rebuild just because they had heard rumor that, hey, you know, you may just want to wait and have the, I think somebody came in and snatched up the property and then brokered it to the state, which they got more than enough money out of it. I'm sure that they, you know, everybody made some bucks on that. And of course the state had to pay for everything. I think it was the state. Might've been, I don't think it was the federal. That's a state highway. So we all got bilked for that one. Without any breakfast. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with all that. This thing about the riots. Now, I think people are tired of them, mainly because riots do not have this. You know, this protesting thing is not having the same effect it used to. Because now, what they're finding is these people are radical, almost jihadist-like militants. And it's obvious that someone is supporting and paying for their for what they're doing. I don't understand exactly how they're getting away with this with the federal government having the intrusiveness that they have, other than the fact there's big money behind these people. I was reading or listening to some documentaries again, or some interviews with some police officers that have been through some of this stuff, especially the riots in 2020. And it would seem that it's becoming very obvious that there are some large donors behind all everything that's going on. They're very, very well organized, very well orchestrated, and they are scheduled events. You know, they have very, very structured, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to go sit in the road, this group is going to go over there, you're in group whatever, and you're going to do this, and this is what you're going to say. Many of these people don't even know why they're there. They're just getting paid. They're getting They're being paid several thousand dollars plus hotels and food and all, everything, you know, flights paid, transportation paid, the whole thing, to go into these areas and to be part of and hold signs. They pass out the signs. These people aren't making their own signs. It's pretty obvious if you look at a group of them and you see five different kinds of signs, and you know, they're all, everybody's got one of five different types of signs, or three or four different types of signs, and they can flip them around different ways, so that way they give them more options as well. That way they don't all look like they have the same sign. And a lot of them are made to look like as if they hand painted them with spray paint, and they aren't. They're copies. They're you know, they probably went down to Instaprint to have it done. And they're not a sponsor, by the way. In fact, there's no sponsor for this show. The only sponsor is me. I am sponsored by me because I'm the news, according to me. So me has to sponsor it. I have only one request: that you like it, share it, you know, download it, whatever you do, pass it on, whatever you want to do with the show here. And also, just if you would, I have a hotline now. It's a voicemail system. You can leave a message, or you can text the show as well, or ask a question, or make a comment, or just request that I, you know, if you have a request for something that you want me to cover or talk about, what my opinion is. But I want to know what your opinion about my opinion is. Enough about me. Let me know what you think about me. I have, you can call this number, 812-379-8778, or you can text that number. And if you don't live in the country of the United States, if you have an outside country, you can go to google.com/voice, type that number in, 812-379-8778, and leave a message, text message, or a voicemail message, either one, whatever you want to do with that. You can do that. I can put your question on the show, or you can request that I not do that. That would be fine. Anyway, there's no sponsor. It's just me. So that most places have a 10-minute long, or at least 10 minutes worth of, or 15 minutes worth of sponsors that they have to talk about. With me, it's all the show, all the time. Now, when I'm on the road like this, my shows typically are a little bit less time, usually less than 30 minutes. This one's going to be probably around the 30-minute mark. And it's only because that I can't do as much technically. Now, next week, I'm hoping that Monday there may not be a show. There may not be a show until late in the day, or if I possibly do one, because I probably will be camping. I'm going to be camping over through the Monday time zone there, so I probably may not be. However, Tuesday morning, almost certainly there will be some kind of a show. Thursday, well, let me just look. We'll just do the rundown here on the schedule and see what we got going on here, because now my phone's going to be acting up. As far as the schedule goes, yes, it looks like, I will be in, I'm going to be in Birmingham, I think. Is that Birmingham? That's Birmingham, yeah. Birmingham on Thursday morning. I'll be in Birmingham. I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Friday morning. So, that's the case right there. It looks like that's all set in stone. I'm sure it's La Crosse. Sorry. Tulsa. I'll be in La Crosse on Saturday. So, I don't get back till Saturday night. So, I get 4 days off, but then I have to work 4 days into that Saturday. And the following week, I'll have a show on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday again. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays are typically pretty well solid. We still have a car we have to pick up in Ohio. Not sure how that's going to work out. So anyway, lots of things happening. And I want to get back to this Jeffrey Epstein thing, because a lot of people are talking about it. Something is going on with this, and I don't know what it is. I hear a lot of comments about, you know, this is a Mossad thing. He was part of Mossad. He was part of British, you know, the Five Eyes, the whole thing. I've heard all kinds of things about this whole thing. I don't know, and I'm not. I'm frankly not going to step in and speculate on it because I just know. I just don't know. All I know is there's something really weird going on here. Of all the things for Trump to turn on and not just talk about, he talks about everything. He has no filter. He talks about everything, and for him to all of a sudden put up some kind of a front. That's one thing he doesn't do well is the left talks about how he lies all the time. He may say things that are outrageous, outlandish, whatever you want to say, exaggerations of the truth. This is the greatest ever been. This is the most fan, whatever. That's one thing. That's saying that he lies is you know, then we find out later on he was right. But just saying he lies all the time. Well, you know, he said it was this, but it really was that. It means the same thing, but they'll say, you know, he said it was. I can't even think of an example right now. I don't want to waste a brain cell even thinking about it because it's just there's a million things. But he'll say, well, it was a red, you know, Corvette that drove through there. Well, no, it wasn't a red. It was a maroon Corvette. That's how ridiculous. He just lies about everything. It wasn't a red Corvette that drove through there. It was maroon, but it was still a Corvette. It's kind of like the person who says, you know, this person died, but they had all this money, they had all this stuff, you know, this other person died and they didn't have anything, so, but they both still died. You know, it's just one of those things where you still, you know, yeah. Well, I digress. So there's just something strange there, and I'm not even going to delve into. At this point, I'm not going to delve into speculation. All I can say is there is something deeper, much deeper. And they're trying to either protect something or someone. And I don't think it's the president. I don't think it's him. Now, Elon Musk has now come out and said that Steve Bannon is in the, you know, in the Jeffrey Epstein files or whatever they're calling it, files or the book or whatever they're calling it. A lot of people are in his file. Anybody who had anything to do with anything, it was in the who's who. Epstein was right there in the wings, trying to weasel his way in. So they got pictures of him with everybody and everything. And but there's just something very strange. Of course, a lot of people are making out Pam Bondi now to be just a clown, and she is. This is not the first time she's been had. She spent a little less time in, you know, hair and makeup for Fox News, and to actually do her job. Because there are people out there who there are resources available to her. I can't imagine what's going on in the DOJ right now with her in the position she's in. How people feel about her being their boss? I would be embarrassed. And I'm basically a supporter of her. I think I'm rooting for her, hoping she does a good job here. But I just think she's either she's being, you know, her hands are being tied to keep her from doing certain things, or she's got certain restrictions, or she's just completely I think she's just incompetent in this job. I think she's in way over her head. I think she's smart enough. I think she just lacks the experience and lacks some of the fortitude and the ability to do this job. I don't think she's. I mean, yes, better than Merrick Garland? Yes, absolutely. Better than, what was her name? Any of the attorney generals that came under the Obama administration. I can't think of one lady's name. But yeah, just any of those attorney generals. Even Eric Holder. Eric Holder was a very good attorney general. The problem was he was very dirty. He had a lot of things he did under the table and around in the darkness right behind the scenes to facilitate political means, political ends. That I think he was very nefarious in many of his activities. I'm not even sure I want to call the title the name of this podcast today. It's more like a mishmash of stuff today. But it was a long night, folks. It was a long evening yesterday. A lot going on, and my head is still kind of wrapping around all that. Folks, thanks for listening. By the way, this has been a crazy show, but Just continue to pray for the nation. Shabbat Shalom. Have a great rest of your weekend. Again, call the show, 812-379-8778. Leave a text or a voicemail, and be happy to take your call. We have big shows coming up next week. There's going to be some interesting things happening over the weekend, I think, with regard to some outcomes of some of the political stuff that's going on. We'll see what happens in the news cycle. We'll have a review of the news cycle next week. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day and rest of your weekend. Take care. God bless, and see ya. That's the time I was supposed to be. There you go.